What's going on, guys? This is MMA Complex. My name is Josh.
And I'm James.
And we are back. It's December 19th. It is opening day of Star Wars. It is a Thursday night. We have a couple of coffee stouts here. And then we'll get into some MMA talk.
Yeah.
We watched the fights this past weekend. We're going to cover UFC 245 and a bunch of other just news, and then kind of break down a couple of the fights for this weekend. We had Bellator, I think. And that's it, right? That's a big fight for Bellator, right? The year-end card for Bellator in Hawaii.
Yeah.
But we'll get into this past UFC 245 right away. We got Usman versus Covington was this past weekend. We watched it here at my pad. Good card. I think it was a solid card.
Especially that main event. I think the main event alone.
Yeah.
Was crazy.
The undercard was decent. I mean, we didn't catch that too much of it.
No, I didn't watch much of the undercard.
I saw the highlights of Geoffneal TKO and KO and Mike Perry. But to kick off the main card, you had Petr Yan and Uriah Faber. So I thought that was a really good fight, and it turned out to be a good fight. What are your thoughts on that fight? Because it kind of played out the way we all expected.
Yeah, I think.
But in my opinion, I think Uriah did a pretty damn good job up until the last round.
No, and I agree. And I think it's one of those fights. I mean, if there was such a thing as a journeyman division, I think Uriah Faber would be perfect in it. I don't think he's losing bad or getting knocked out. I think maybe he did, up there.
Yeah. At his 41, 40 years old? I mean, come on.
I think Dana White always talks about he's done anything in the sport. Well, he actually hasn't. He hasn't won that UFC title. But at this point, do we see a Uriah Faber chasing a title in 2020 or 2019? No. I don't think so. So, I mean, if you can't be a champion, then why keep fighting?
Yeah. I mean, I can see him wanting to competitively. But he's smart enough to, I think, if he starts to lose like this over and over again.
Yeah.
Then I could see him, you know, calling it a day.
Yeah.
But Petr Yan, I think people are like barely waking up to him in terms of him being a legit title contender.
He's scary.
He is a legit title contender, and I think Faber knew this going into it, and that was a big step up for him to come into it right away after.
He was stepping soon.
Yeah, and I mean, he was a big name for Petr Yan, and I mean, it kind of played out the way I think the UFC would have liked it to build a young guy off of Uriah Faber, who's basically ready for a title shot at this point.
Yeah.
But Uriah Faber, being 40 years old, looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't think he looked bad at all.
He didn't look bad at all. No, he didn't.
No. I mean, I wouldn't say, and again, I wouldn't call him to retire right away either, because that's being able to compete with guys like this at this level. I think it's shows that you can hang around for a little bit, at least a little longer, and have some good fights left in them.
Yeah, I agree. It's just the big question is why. Not so much he should retire. Why does he keep fighting? Like, why is he still fighting?
I think for what purpose? Yeah, I think when he fights guys like this, it's going to wake him up in the way that he'll realize that maybe a title shot is too far away. So you know what? I'm just going to take some big fights, make some good money, have some fun, and then make my way out again. For good this time.
Yeah.
I think he's going to give it a year. I don't see him fighting past another year. I think this is his last
year. I hope not.
But he's 1-1. You know, I say he takes two more fights. I say he takes at least two more this year. And he's pretty active even at this age. Still looks exactly the same. Hasn't aged a day, really.
That's true, yeah.
So, I don't know. Petr Yan, I think, where's the ceiling from him? I think he's a number one contender. Or if not, he's right up there, because, I mean, he's that good. And every time he comes out, he looks even better and better. So, I mean, you could give him a number one, number two pick next if he's not there in that top five already. Marlon Moraes defeating Jose Aldo. This was a split decision. I had a Jose Aldo.
Yeah, so did I.
I think
he pushed the pace. I think he landed the more cinematic strikes.
Yeah, and I think overall, majority of the people scored it for Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
Was Marlon Moraes, did he do enough going in the back foot? Did he land more? Did he land more even though Jose Aldo was chasing him, did he still land more? I don't know. Some people say yes, and he deserved the win. And I guess the judges mm-hmm. felt the same. This isn't necessarily going to slow his role, though, in the division, because Cejudo's asking for him. You know, Cejudo felt like Jose Aldo won and is looking to give him a title shot next over a guy like Marlon Moraes. Mm. So I don't think Marlon Moraes looked good enough to get a title shot.
No, Jose Aldo did. And then what kind of annoyed me about Marlon, he's like walking around like he won the fight.
Yeah.
I think he knows himself he didn't win that fight.
No. And he even said, hey, you know, let's do it again. I wouldn't actually mind them just doing it again, honestly. I would
imagine. Yeah. And then the weight cut was not bad for Jose.
No, not at all.
I mean, I think he looks like death all the time just because of the way he looks. But I think that it went pretty well for him, yeah. I think
it showed
in comparison to 145.
Yeah, and I thought it showed his professionalism and his ability to kind of be dedicated.
Yeah.
You know, and to, be strict on himself to cut down to that weight.
Well, I heard that this is his first fight using a nutritionist in his career. That's crazy. That's crazy to think.
You know, it doesn't surprise me all that much. I can see how they probably got somebody in-house and everybody's, you know, they had plenty of people in his gym that have done it and cut that weight. So, you know, they'll give him all the tips that he can. And, you know,
but to have someone working with you
to have a legit professional. Yeah. At this stage in his career,
145.
Yeah. At this stage in his career, that's insane.
Yeah.
The fact that he's been doing it his first time all like,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
That's super crazy. So, how does he do against? I don't think anybody in that division does great against Henry Cejudo. I think he pretty much dominates the majority of the division.
Even Jose Aldo.
Huh?
I say Cejudo called him out. Called Jose out.
Yeah, and did you see the video? It was like in the pool and all that.
Oh no! I missed that. I heard about it though.
Yeah, yeah. He called him out. He asked for Jose Aldo, and then he put out this video with him. With him and some girls at a pool, and then he's the guy sticking to it, to that character, and man, it's I don't know. I think in a way it's paying off. And then we get to Amanda Nunes defeating Jermaine Duranemi.
I mean, the dullest fight in the card, but
yes,
it's a fight that Amanda needed. I think she needed to go five rounds.
Mm-hmm.
To show that she can do it.
And show her wrestling a little bit. Show her.
Yeah. I think she fought smart, and I think she did enough to beat Jermaine.
Yeah.
And I think she fought smart, and I think this is going to be a good experience for her.
No, it's going to be.
Her future fights.
I think Jermaine gave her enough of a fight to push her to the fifth. But if Jermaine was skilled enough on the ground and in the wrestling department, she would be having a hard time.
The one thing that always shattered her in her career is her wrestling.
Yeah.
She doesn't, like, do anything about it.
No, she doesn't. And then when she got for Jermaine, when she was taken down at relative ease, she didn't do much while she was on the ground. She basically just kind of turtled up, laid there, tried to put Amanda in her guard. She had a couple nice moments of
the upkick that was knocked out. Upkick
and the triangle and all that. But overall, she got dominated.
Yeah.
But I was talking in terms of Amanda Nunes lasting all five rounds. I think if you had somebody a little bit more skilled in the wrestling and the jiu-jitsu department, that was
I think Amanda would be out. She'll be out.
And gave her more of a fight on the ground. I don't know if her gas tank would have been able to hang. Like I just
no.
You know, and if you have someone, it the thing is, there's not a whole lot of girls out there like that. So like. Like Holly's, getting up in age. Her wrestling's decent. Her jiu-jitsu's decent, and her striking's kind of defensive. So coming up against a girl like Amanda, who's just gonna blast her, it's gonna be pretty difficult. So, and she's not gonna get, you know, there's no threat of the takedown. All the other girls, as Amanda's kind of dominated. The only one I could say that was, you know, a legit handful and a big win was the Cyborg one for sure. But I would like to see her against somebody that's going to really push her, test her in size and in like, you know, skill and see if she could go all five rounds and really gut deep because you know,
she got tired because of her onslaught.
Yeah, and when you have a girl like, let's say, like a Kat Zingano, who's big, who's you know, pretty solid on the feet, who's got a solid chin, good in the jiu-jitsu and good in the wrestling.
Matchup? Yeah,
you good condition.
A good matchup for her would be Sarah McMahon.
That would be a good matchup. I wouldn't mind seeing that. But the thing is, with Sarah, is she strong enough to like push her? But I don't know.
She'd be a damn good wrestler.
Because Kat pushed her and broke her. Mm. So
that's true.
And Kat's a big girl who you know who can bang and who has like jiu-jitsu and wrestling, and pushed her to the pace and that's really true. Took her out. So with Sarah McMahon, I think she's got all the skill in the world, and I think she's a power puncher. You know, she's short, compact, muscle, and solid wrestling and jiu-jitsu. Mentally, is she stronger than Amanda? Because that's not where you have to have.
And she has two kids now.
Yeah, and she's been out of the game for a little while. So
yeah, she got locked up.
So the sun now. Second time, right?
Damn. Yeah.
So
I hate that. Damn, sorry.
I know. So yeah, that was that fight. I mean, Amanda, where should go from here? There's that talk of she was fighting what's her name, the boxer, or Clarissa Shields. It's all talk. I mean, will Amanda go over to boxing? No, she kind of really said she's not interested, and Clarissa's not interested in coming into the cage. Both so this is never going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know where she goes. Takes a couple of fights here and there. I really don't know. They'll throw somebody at her, but I don't know where she goes from here. Everybody's saying, "Oh, she should just retire," but nah, man, it's just. Just make your money. Just defend your belt. I mean, at this point, you defeated all the big names. Just take the newcomers. You know, see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean,
stay active.
I think the next fight, they'll probably throw her, will probably be against Megan Anderson for the 145-pound title.
I could see that. I don't think it's much even of a challenge.
Even though Megan just won because she scratched someone's eye. She won her last fight. Via Renika Cho.
That was like a submission.
But that was like a girl that was like 1-0.
Yeah.
And she was in trouble in the first round.
No, that was a gimme fight.
Yeah.
Then you have Volkanovski against Max Holloway, defeating Max Holloway, claiming the featherweight title. A lot of people saying that it was a very close fight. Some, you know, I felt it was close. You know, I thought Volkanovski probably did enough in terms of points. He outpointed him. Did he beat him up? Did he, you know, put Max in any real danger? No, not really. It was kind of just competitive back and forth.
Yeah.
I think Max kind of turned it up in the later rounds.
Yeah, that fourth and fifth round, he really turned it
up. Yeah, he really turned it up in the later rounds.
It was too late by then.
But it was a little bit too late. I think Volkanovski scored enough points in the first three to really kind of edge him out. And then that's kind of where it ended up. And that's kind of on Max. I think watching the fight, it was kind of frustrating to see Max just open to taking those leg kicks, not checking any of them.
Yeah.
I mean, at a certain point, you see that he's going for your legs over and over and over again. You know, it's like
points.
Change it up a little bit, you know, defend a little bit, you know, check him. I don't know, do something because he's just scoring points on you. And you can see the title slipping as it went on. And then, you know, obviously he turned it up in the fourth and fifth, but it was a little too late.
Yeah.
So,
well, Dan's talking about the rematch in Australia. I think that rematch, yeah. I think Max takes it.
Which is good on Max to make a close enough fight to warrant a rematch too, and having such a long, you know, reign.
Yeah.
You know, so does he do it again? I think Max could win.
Yeah, I think so too.
With the game plan adjustments. I think he's seen what Volkanovski can bring. Unless Volkanovski lands some, you know, like a knockout punch, I don't see him throwing any, changing up his game plan all that much or showing any more of his arsenal.
Yeah, I agree.
Alexander as a champion.
Dude, he's good though, man.
He's good.
He's so good.
He's good. He's solid. He's strong. Dude,
those legs.
Those leg kicks, those legs.
He reminds me of like a Sean Sherk.
Yeah.
With his legs.
He's a solid champion out of a solid gym. And I give him all the credit in the world. If he comes in there and takes out Max again, maybe even impressive. More convincingly, that'd be impressive. And then you got to give him like probably one of the best of all time because he beat Jose Aldo and Max twice back to back. So
That'd be crazy.
That would be crazy, and I don't see a lot of other people in that division really getting him a hard time. So,
it's become shallow.
This is Max's like Stipe fight. Like, yeah. Stipe's got to, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's got to come back and really cement his legacy. This is a legacy fight for Max.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
This is the biggest fight of his career, straight up. So, yeah, it's a big, big fight for him. When and how it happens or where it happens, I think Volkanovski is going to have a little bit of surgery. So, it probably won't happen until summertime.
Which is good.
Which is fine. Max, the game plan to heal up. So, it'd be better for him.
Max is the best fighter as far as, like, taking losses.
Yeah.
And wins.
Yeah. But you still don't want to pile them up. You're too down. So you don't want to.
Yeah.
Legacy wise, you don't want to start going on a skid right now.
No.
You're too.
Well, he won his last fight, didn't he?
No, he lost. His last one was wasn't it Poirier?
No, he defended his title before that.
Against who?
Frankie Edgar.
Did he beat Frankie?
Yeah.
Was it Poirier, Frankie, and then Volkanovski?
No, because I remember they were saying like this is a. Second time in UFC history where a champion is defending his title after a loss.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I thought Frankie was before.
Yeah,
Poirier. No, it is after. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just one loss.
One loss. One win. One. So, I mean, in terms of being a title holder again, this is a big one for him because if he goes two down, Volkanovski, he's gonna have to do it. It's a long way back to getting that next title shot if he loses this next one. So. Hopefully they could do it again before summer. I hope before summer, like May, April. That'd be good. And then you have in the main event, Kamaru Usman defeating Colby Covington. Almost goes the whole five. Back and forth. I think both fighters, in the end, I guess, you know, you have Kamaru Usman winning the title, but I think both fighters really showed what they have. I mean, I know, would you want to see it again? I there's so much to go into this thing. what are your thoughts on the fight on both fighters and how they performed?
It was a very evenly matched fight coming in. And I think those guys, two wrestlers who canceled themselves out with wrestling and banged for five rounds.
Yeah.
It was really entertaining. And as much as people hate maybe Kobe's character that he plays and the stuff that he says, you got to give props to someone that, A, like, showed his toughness and his grit, had his jaw broken or fractured, and still fought two rounds. Third.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So you got to give him props to Kobe. But I felt Kamar went in there in that fifth round, desperate, and he went for the fences.
Yeah.
And he showed a true champion's heart, and I think I was okay with the stoppage.
In terms of the stoppage, the fight, we'll go start with the fight. I mean, I thought that, both showed that it was definitely an even matchup. Both had great moments throughout the fight. I think going into the fifth, it was even, it was tied. And I can see it was all going to go down to whoever wanted whoever was ever to dig deep and get into the fifth. And I think by the time of the fifth came around, I think Colby was, especially with that jaw, a little too banged up to really push in the fifth. And then Kamaru, I think, turned it on in the fifth and then really really cemented it, put a stamp on it. I would say the stoppage, I thought it was a little early. Because he gets knocked down.
Twice. But, I think that's a big key to it.
But gets right back up. It's not like Overeem that falls and then tries to get back up and stumbles his way towards like the cage. He gets right back up each time and then ends up going for a single and then is like Kamaru's barely sprawling and the hammer fists that he's dropping are not even landing. They're hitting like the shoulder. And then it gets stopped and then Colby gets up right away. He's not wobbly. His face looks like that, but his face looked like that since like the third round.
Yeah.
So to me, I thought it could have went a little bit longer. Like if he's going for a single, you let him finish going for that single.
Yeah.
And then if he gets beat up and covers up, then he covers up. Then you call it.
But I think that one of the reasons why the ref called is because the fact that of his jaw and the fact that he got dropped twice. I think he just protected Kobe Covington.
But the fighter didn't, the ref didn't know that his jaw was broken. And the judges didn't know that his jaw was broken. So, I mean, like, it was really just, I think the ref kind of got a little like a little antsy, I guess, when he went on the second punch.
I just think he did it to protect Kobe from himself.
Is it the worst stoppage in the world? No, I don't think it's the worst stoppage in the world.
I think from all the people that I listened to, I think there's one person that said it was an early stoppage, and that's thinking Matt Serra. I think everybody else said that it was a good stoppage.
I mean, I think a lot of the people that are saying it's a good stoppage are taking into account the broken jaw. But it's like, Kobe doesn't care about the broken jaw. You got to give him he's fought three rounds with the broken jaw. You got to give him time to like either show what he's got or just give up.
Yeah.
And I think they stopped it. I think they stopped it way too early. I think it could have lasted another, finished the round at least. And I think if it did finish the round, I say Kamaru probably would have won anyway on points because he ticked that fifth for sure.
Yeah.
So either way, I think Colby would have won, but he could have finished the fight. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Or Kamaru could have won.
Yeah.
But Colby at least could have finished it and had that in his cap to like, you know, I went all five with a broken jaw or like went three rounds with a broken jaw. Still couldn't take me out type of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would like to see it again. You know, I
that's not going to happen.
It's probably not going to happen.
It's going to be Masvidal and Usman next.
I think I can wait seeing it happen again because I want Masvidal to get that title shot.
This is going to happen. This is why you want to see that fight ever again. I think after the next fight to book is Usman and Masvidal.
Yeah.
And then Masvidal, if he beats him, he'll fight Kobe next, and then he'll just destroy Kobe, and that's it.
I'd say, Kobe's going to be out for a little while, so definitely we're not going to see that fight. Because his jaw's
and what if what if Kobe changes to the WWE? Who knows?
Do you think he will? With that being that close to a title, I don't know if he would. I think if he got blown out, maybe.
Well, he was saying before the fight that he was ready to leave this corrupt business and go to the WWE.
I think he's gonna finish it out. If he goes to WWE, great for him. I'm sure the money's gonna be good.
No, but you're right though. I think he finishes MMA.
I think he finishes his career out in MMA and then goes. I say the fights to make. No, this might not happen because Colby's going to be out for a little while with that jaw fracture. I don't think it was a complete. I think it was a break, like a fracture in the middle.
Yeah, I heard it was a fracture too.
Yeah, so he's still probably going to be out to the summer. Now the fights to make are, I would say, Masvidal and Usman for the title, probably April, May. And if Colby is healed up enough, I'm not sure how long it's going to take him to heal up. I don't see him fighting until the end of the year almost. And
well, they didn't want to fight Woodley.
Yeah, I would like. So you have three people that you can put in there right now. You have Wonderboy, you have Pettis, you have them out there in the you know, circling around. But you have, I would say, Woodley, and you do Woodley and Leon Edwards now. Masvidal and Usman, like you could put them around the same time. You could do like an April card, and then let Colby heal up, and then you know you stick them in there with like either the winner of one of those or the loser of one of those, and then they do it again. That depending on if Usman is still the champ, they do it again later on towards the end of the year.
Yeah, that's good.
But I'd say those are the guys right now in that division.
I completely agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see anybody else in the division that deserves title shots, and those five guys are like the guys right now. So I'd put Kobe to the side, and you have those four: Woodley, Leon Edwards, Masvidal, Usman. Let them battle it out for till the end of the year. So what else was going on last week? That's pretty much it, huh? That was the biggest card last week. A couple of boxing matchups, but other than that was it.
Yeah.
In MMA news, you had Rory McDonald making his announcement that he signed with the PFL, a multi-year, multi-fight contract. I don't know the specifics of the contract. Let me see if I could get any info on that. What were your thoughts on it? I didn't mind it. I would say that. What are your thoughts on it? I can see why.
I guess at this point in his career, like, he just lost the title from to Lima. I think Bellator knows that, you know, this is not the same word that they probably signed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, considering all that, I guess it makes sense. I think Roy McDonald has a name already. He was established himself in the MMA game, and I think he's probably just doing this for the money,
mm-hmm.
and to make a quick meal, and then I see this as his last destination before retirement.
I think this is his last go. Mm-hmm. I don't see him fighting well into his like 40, like pushing his late 30s or whatever into mm-hmm. his 40s. Now, I would say when I heard the news, I was kind of saddened a little bit by the fact that he's not going to be in Bellator anymore,
mm-hmm. or the
which
UFC.
I thought that was his home, you know, since leaving the UFC. I you know, him staying around, you know, he would have some tough matchups, and I think this is better for him than it is for, I think this is a good decision for him. I was trying to think of why. One, probably they paid him well. Two, the schedule can be a little demanding because but it's a kind of a season type of thing. So it'll be spread out and the competition's not going to be as high, but okay, let's go pros. What are the pros of this move for him? Money?
Oh, definitely money.
Another big network.
Yeah. Sponsorship.
Sponsorships.
Level of fighters that he'll be competing. Not the greatest, but he'll be a champion and win some money.
Most likely. I think he'd be favored in all of his matchups, at least for initially. Yes.
Yeah. I think that's it.
That's it, right? I mean, it's not the worst move in the world. he still stays close to home. He's familiar with the people that run it. They're paying him well. He has the opportunity to fight for $1 million. Yeah, their schedule's a little grueling. Can be a little grueling some fighters because it could be multiple time fights in the year, more so than maybe he's used to. Instead of like a 2 to 3 fights a year, he's gonna have to probably put a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But the level of competition is not gonna be as high. It's a new challenge. It's the challenge aspect to it where it's not only getting used to a new organization, a new network. He's on a good network, a big network, NBC. I think it's NBC, right?
But he has a name already, so
yeah, he's got a name.
He's going to bring attention to them.
Yeah, it's not some shitty little league. I mean, they got legit fighters over there, and you know they got a good thing running, and they're going to pay him well. And I mean, it's a new challenge. He's going to go into the unknown.
He's at his tail end of his career.
I think this will help him in terms of rejuvenating his passion for it. Mm-hmm. That lighting that fire, I can't, you know, get embarrassed. You know, I think he maybe felt too comfortable mm-hmm. at Bellator.
Yeah.
You know, even though I think the level of competition is higher, I think it may have been a better, I don't know, it could have been a better decision to stick with Bellator just based on the schedule and the level of competition. But, you know, it's not that bad of a move.
I don't think so. I think maybe he'll be good.
Maybe he was looking for it. I know he was a little disappointed that they didn't do a counter offer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of, maybe that's good for him because PFL paid him well.
Yeah.
So
they invested in him for sure.
I definitely think he's going to get less eyeballs. He's going to get less attention. He's going to get less publicity.
Yeah. But at this point, I mean, people know who he is.
Yeah. I mean they're going to promote him well.
Yeah.
But I mean, and then he never really took advantage of the stardom or anything.
Especially when Jesus came,
yeah,
in the picture, he's very quiet and super nice. So that's probably not a bad thing that people would be seeing.
He's never been the guy to try to be in the media at mm-hmm. all. He's way too soft spoken. He's not a big name. He's not a person that brings attention to the organization outside of hardcore fans.
Like, yeah,
so. I think Bellator was like, you know, I think we got the most out of him as much as we could.
Mm-hmm. Kind of move on.
Doesn't seem like he wants to. He's got the fire in him that much. You know, it's not exciting for us to keep him around. If anything, it'd probably be too expensive, and we don't get a whole lot from him. So, you know,
smart. I heard that Alima almost retired from MMA.
I heard she was thinking of, yeah, and she's excited for what's her name to get over there and them to mix it up, even though they're teammates. And I don't know, Liz Carmouche.
Yeah, well, that's her mentor, and she wants to fight her mentor. I think she said that's her dream fight.
Yeah.
Teacher versus student.
What else? So, any other news? You have a couple of good matchups this weekend, but let's get right into those fight picks. Get some fight picks going, and it'll be a short episode today, but we'll get in, get out. Bellator is this weekend. They have multiple cards. They have a USO show with what's his name? Josh Barnett. Beto Arteaga and Alejandro Lara is on the card. Joey Davis is on that card. So that's a solid card. Two fight card. You have a Friday and a Saturday card for Bellator. Both in Hawaii. One for the troops. One for the pay-per-view. And then you have UFC. So that's Bellator's card on Friday with Josh Barnett. You have Frankie Edgar against Korean Zombie.
Mm.
The rest of the card's decent, but this is a straight up one fight main event card. The rest of them are
duds
in terms of Rakic and Ozdemir is probably the only people. Dohoy Choi, the Korean Superboy. Edgar, Korean Zombie. Is this too much, too early, too soon for Frankie Edgar to take this fight on short notice?
I think so. I think Korean Zombie is a bad matchup for Frankie, and especially at his tail end of his career, I think.
And on a short notice fight like that?
Mm-hmm.
I think so too. I think it's going to be... And plus,
I feel bad for Frankie Edgar. I think he's not the same fighter anymore.
He's looking for a quick turnaround too after this. I think coming out of this fight, I don't see him being able to make his next fight just because...
Yeah.
Korean Zombie is not an easy go for anybody.
No. He's big. He's durable. He has power in his hands. I think it's going to be a tough matchup for Frankie and a tough night for Frankie. Yeah. I'm picking Korean Zombie,
and then so that's the Korea fight. It's in Busan. It's early morning card. And then you have the Bellator 236 featuring Lena McFarlane and Kate Jackson. That card is, I would prefer them to have had a lot of those fights on the Friday card, on the main card for this one, because I think you'll get a lot more eyeballs. This one's decent. But it's a one. It's again. You have Adrian McKee on here, which is great. Rafion Stotts, Juliana Vasquez. You have some good ones, but Lima McFarlane is definitely. This is definitely a one fight main card type of thing. Yeah. Other than AGC and AJ McKee and Derek Campos, that's a good one. But I think this is their Grand Prix, the featherweight Grand Prix, to kick it off this card.
Yeah, Lima.
Probably going to Lima on that one.
Yeah,
obviously. But that's it. A couple of good fights Friday, Saturday, early morning UFC. Probably catch the replays on that. But aside from that, anything else?
No, that's it, man. Have fun tonight with Star Wars, man.
You know, off to Star Wars soon. I can't wait. I've been waiting for this. Like,
dude, I thought it was going to be out on Christmas. Like, I guess not.
No. Today's opening night, 7:30 showing. Can't wait. Mm-hmm. All right. Catch you guys all next week. End of the year show. So until then, we'll see you guys.
Enjoy the fights. Enjoy your week, guys.